This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host for this first hour. A lot again to talk about in terms of markets. The S&P just reaching a new weekly all-time high in terms of closing nature, volatility continuing in precious metals, U.S. dollar potentially bouncing after a pretty rough couple months that it just had. We also have gold, volatility, good lord. All of these things will be discussed on this weekend show. I am kicking off this show with Rick Bensignor. He writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That's read by some of the largest, most successful hedge funds in the world. For all the retail traders, he writes in the No Trader, and also started a new piece that we chatted about a month ago called 7-Eleven, where Rick focuses and picks no more than 7 of the 11 overall spider ETFs, really in a strategy to beat the broad averages. And Rick, let's start with the broad averages, because the S&P, no matter what bearish news we get, or quite frankly the bearish nature that people want to have towards the S&P, it closed this week at an all-time high, just below that 3,400 level. Overall, Rick, what do you think about the continued strength of the S&P and even the NASDAQ, even though these indices are being led just by a handful of stocks, really?
Well, Corey, thanks for having me on, and you're completely correct. It is literally a handful of stocks that are dragging these indices higher. So basically, I think it was yesterday, I was looking at the top five names in the S&P account for, I think it was 19% of the total S&P, and 50 names accounted for I think it was 55% or so, or maybe just about 50% of the market. So, yeah, the large cap names are dominating and just being where the money inflow continues to be seen. And I never thought I'd say these words in 2020 that we're on new all-time highs for the S&P, because as we spoke over the spring, I was my belief was that the year's range had been made already from the February high to the March low, and that we would trade the balance of 2020 in that range. And I really didn't think that in summer of 2020 I'd be saying that we're talking about new all-time highs, but we are. And the market, or if you want to say investors, have continued to plow money back into the market since that March low. I'd say more than anything, it's fueled by the Fed put, the Powell put, whichever way you want to talk about it, but the belief that there's only so much the market would sell off before the Fed would be standing and waiting with arms out, filled with cash, to once again flood the marketplace and make sure there's plenty of liquidity in the system. And despite the coronavirus and the fact that the U.S. has the worst numbers in the world in the amount of people who have it and deaths, and you know, every way you kind of want to look at this, or maybe even better said, not want to look at it, but the reality is as a country the numbers are terrible. And you put that together, you would not think that stocks could be trading on all-time highs, and yet there they are. So I've even written my own customers that sometimes using all the intelligence and logic you have still doesn't make you money in the market. And, you know, so we had told clients to lighten long-term exposure in the S&P between 3,000 and 3,175. We never said to go short, but just to take some exposure off. And we got back in at about, just about 3275 or so. We said, obviously, our call just isn't correct. There is unlimited demand for stocks, and, this thing keeps going. So we reversed the call, and now the question is, how much more does it have? Or by the fact that we continually stall under 3,400. So this week we've made minimal new all-time highs, and yes, it will be a new in less than the next, it's past 4 o'clock. So yes, we are closed. The S&P is at 3,397. So yeah, this is the best close, for a Friday close that we've ever had. But the S&P still really had trouble in the last couple of weeks bursting through what had been the previous highs and climbing over 3,400 and staying there. So we still haven't seen that yet. But as best as I can tell, Corey, I would say there's a decent chance we get up to about 3,555 or so. That's my next upside target for the S&P. So it confounds me. It surprised me. It did everything I didn't think would happen, but sure enough, that's where we are.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. We are in no way near where the economy was before the pandemic. And quite frankly, there are a lot of people saying that the economy was weak before the pandemic and that stocks were overvalued then. It's only extended for, a handful of names. The one constant, though, seems to be easy money out of governments, out of central banks. We even had the Fed minutes this week where there was a little discussion on some bit of yield curve control, but the Fed seems to be pushing that off, more or less saying that if needed, they'll just probably inject more money into the markets. Is this the overriding factor right now for markets, is simply easy money? So don't fight the Fed, don't fight any of the central banks?
I think it is. It's really been the mantra for, when you think about it, 12 years. So since the debt crisis and the Fed opening up the money spigots, we've had this fantastic rally since the March 2009 low, and it's predominantly fueled by low interest rates and the Fed providing money as needed. And when you hear Jay Powell speak, and he talks about that, a few things. One, we're not even thinking about raising rates. So rates are going to stay low for the foreseeable future, and there's no indication to think otherwise. Secondly, that the Fed is on alert and ready with more money to come into the system anytime it's needed. That old thing about don't fight the Fed was, and it's something I did earlier this year when I did have that negative take on the market, continues to be a winning mantra over time, because their ability to inject money into the system is more powerful than other things that potentially affect the market. So, Chinese-American relations having tensions is not good, but if the Fed is going to always be there, then it's just not the Chinese tensions is just not going to be strong enough to push the market down. It could for a day or two when a headline comes out, but obviously, as we see, there are net buyers consistently, and this market doesn't really retrace. The coronavirus, I'm in complete agreement with you that numbers, not only the numbers from themselves, but the amount of small businesses that have closed, the amount of small businesses that never reopened, is staggering. New York City, I have a daughter who lives in Manhattan, and, if she goes and leaves her apartment, so she's worked from home for, 6 months already. And when she goes out, she luckily lives very near Central Park, so she'll take a walk there and, sit in there, keeping her social distance. But when I ask her what the streets are like, she says they're basically empty. And, that's not the New York that we know.
All right, Rick, we are unfortunately out of time for this segment, but I'm having you back on next segment. We are going to be talking commodities and the U.S. dollar. So everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now let's talk about some of the markets that are much more volatile and capturing headlines. We're going to start broadly with U.S. dollar and commodities. The U.S. dollar looks like it's bouncing after a pretty bad couple months. The fact of the matter is it didn't have a short-term breakdown, but still trading within this broad multi-year range. The lower dollar definitely helped some of the commodities. Even though oil was boring, precious metals have been volatile all over the place. Even copper poked its head above $3 just this week. What do you think about this whole environment of U.S. dollar potentially bouncing? That could tie into maybe some commodity weakness?
Yeah, so we had called the dollar decline and said under 95.21 that bears would recapture for the first time in years kind of the driver's seat in the dollar. And I suggested that the initial downside target would be between 93 and 91.5 in the DXY, the U.S. dollar index. That's kind of the benchmark most people look at when they're talking about the dollar. Last week, on Sunday night, I mentioned to clients that actually to look for a dollar bounce right now, I had some downside exhaustion signals. In fact, it was the first time we had had those type signals on the decline, and you are seeing a little bit of a bounce here. But if the dollar doesn't get back above kind of 94.40-ish, give or take, this is still, and it's only then a short-term oversold bounce. And the other thing is that when we made lows this week, the DXY got to, I'd say, 20 or 30 pips. Pips is 1/100th of, think of it in terms of being like a basis point, but for the dollar index. So when you trade currencies, the minimum price fluctuation is typically a pip, and it's 1/100th of a point. And so the dollar index got about 30 pips away from the major uptrend line from the secular low from 2011. When and if that gives way, and it's just beneath the 92 handle, I believe, when that gives way, and if it gives way, then it's possible that you get a whole nother down move in the dollar. And I've told clients that potentially in 2021, you could see the dollar as low as 87. So I think the results of what goes on in coming months for the virus is important in for how the world sees the dollar and the troubles we've had. And I think a lot of the decline that we've seen since the spike in March that got to 102 and change is just how bad the U.S. has done at dealing with the virus. The fact that interest rates are low is not a good thing for the dollar. And, of course, you've got an election coming up, and I'm not even sure which way the dollar would go, depending upon which of the two candidates would win. But these are, you know, the elements at play here, and I think the dollar is typically a very technically oriented market, and the signals, you don't get too many false signals in the currency, and so I'm thinking that, you know, any real break under 92 probably opens the door for further legs down, and you'd still want to be a seller on a rally.
All right, fair enough. Let's talk about copper, because there are moves in copper that also don't make any sense to me when you compare where copper was trading at the beginning or before this pandemic and where it reached this week above $3. To me, I don't see the demand for copper. I understand there's some supply destruction. But overall, do you understand this copper move, how copper can be at pre-pandemic levels?
No, I don't, and I think it falls into the same category of somewhat of a risk asset that has gotten strength as the equity markets moved up. Of course, copper is a major component into building a house, the pipes, etc., often with copper pipes. So as housing starts have hit dramatically high levels, you are seeing there is demand for copper more than we would have expected. Also, given everything going on with the virus. But as we keep seeing new home sales go up and new building go up, that is giving us demand for copper. But to put it at pre-COVID levels is hard to imagine. So, yeah, $3 copper, I think, is really kind of pushing it. 332, if I remember, is the secular high a couple of years ago. So that's, you know, a reference point. I myself was short copper for about a month in the fund I trade for. I ended up covering half on the day that made the low recently, a couple of weeks ago. It sold down to 277, and I covered half at 278, but the other half I covered above where I shorted, so I basically made nothing on the trade. After thinking like you, it didn't make sense that copper would be this high. So I was shorted, I think, 286 and pretty much washed the trade. And, you know, watching it now trade between 290 and 3 bucks and kind of saying, this thing is awfully high. But that fits into stocks being that. It fits into $142 oil not making sense either.
So true. How about now this volatility in precious metals? It's a weird time in the world when we're seeing precious metals as one of the most volatile sectors in the financial markets. Clearly, gold's done very well. Silver started to play some catch-up. Silver arguably even went parabolic for about a month and a half there. What do you take away from the environment where we have volatile precious metals?
All right, so this is something that also I had told clients about 2 to 3 weeks ago, was to expect some dramatically increased volatility in the metals markets. And I saw it coming from some of the models that we use that actually measure volatility. Silver, you know, broke out in the high teens. It reached almost $30, so it's had a huge run. And of course, gold was and made all-time highs recently. So realize, and this is something probably a lot of listeners don't think about, but the paper market in gold, which is the futures market, is kind of the predominant way people play the market. Of course, there's the physical market for dealers, but any speculator is going to use the futures markets. And once gold made new all-time highs, you have to realize, too, that there aren't resting limit orders in any of the type volume that you would have when you're not trading at all-time highs, because people have had on positions from sometimes it's short time ago, sometimes it was long time ago. But when you're on levels that have never traded before, there isn't a huge book on either side of the market with resting bids and resting offers.
All right, Rick, we're going to wrap it up there. It's always great having you on the show. We covered a lot of markets here, but you know what? There is a lot to talk about with these markets. This week could be a bit of an inflection point for some of these markets, at least in a short-term sense. Rick, great having you on the show. Thanks again for your time. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks for having me.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention radio listeners. Have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Postmaster General Louis DeJoy on the hot seat. He testified before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee Friday. Democrats said reforms DeJoy implemented at the beleaguered agency were intended to slow down mail-in ballots as states have entertained vote-by-mail this fall. President Trump remains opposed to mail-in balloting. DeJoy says he isn't doing the president's bidding. That's because they haven't talked since his confirmation.
Did you discuss those changes or their potential impact on the November election with the president or anyone at the White House? And remind you, you're under oath.
I have never spoken to the president about the Postal Service other than to congratulate me when I accepted the position.
DeJoy said he took exception to accusations and said that mail-in ballots will be delivered. He also expressed support for vote by mail. This is USA Radio News. Former White House strategist Steve Bannon is speaking for the first time since his arrest this week. The details from USA Radio Network's Tim Berg.
Steve Bannon called the charges leveled against him and three other associates a political hit job. Bannon, who pleaded not guilty on Thursday to charges he allegedly defrauded donors in a $25 million We Build a Wall scam along with three associates, addressed the case during an episode of his podcast, War Room.
I reiterate this. This fiasco yesterday was to intimidate anybody that wants to talk about American sovereignty and wants to talk about the wall. We're never going to stop talking about that and fighting for it.
President Trump distancing himself from Bannon, his former advisor, after he was arrested.
A funeral was held at the White House for President Trump's younger brother, Robert. The 71-year-old died last week at a New York City hospital. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. He really is, I think, a guy that we should all be paying attention to, especially when it comes to short-term market moves, because, hey, he has the ear of a lot of big hedge funds and institutional investors in the U.S. We're going to switch our focus for these final two segments, more focused on the resource sector. I'm chatting right now with Brian Lenny. He is the founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review, also writes a premium newsletter. Now, Brian, no doubt we're seeing a lot of volatility in the precious metals, but there's also some other metals that I know are starting to catch some people's attention. Copper, earlier this week, poked its head just above $3. It reversed, though, fairly quickly, but still, that was a multi-year high for copper. I've been getting some more comments regarding uranium, but still there is a large focus on these precious metals, even through this little bit of a correction that we are in. Where's your main focus? Where have you been attracted to when it comes to companies and investments recently, Brian?
My focus remains on gold. We talked about before the thesis for owning gold, and as a consequence, the gold equities, to me, has never been stronger. While I'd like to believe that base metals are going to take off from here, like you bring up a good example in copper, you know, we couldn't hold copper above $3 a pound basically for the last 4 years, and this is prior to this COVID crisis. And all this, the question marks that arise, you know, going into the fall, going into a U.S. election, I really have my doubts on whether, you know, plus $3 copper is going to be a reality and or one that's able to hold. And thus, I remain very skeptical. But in saying that, you know, for the right project, I think that, you know, you can't tell where markets are going. And if you can find a good company with a great project, and they've got cash, you know, there's nothing wrong with investing, in that sort of company. But my focus is on gold. There's a tremendous value, still in that sector with gold trading at $2,000. There's a few stories out there that I see, that are just really undervalued and, you know, investors haven't seen it yet.
So what type of stories then are you seeing as undervalued? I know that you like to dive into some of these companies that are a bit more advanced rather than just a new exploration place.
Yeah, I think right now, you know, there's the ones that I'm talking about that I think are tremendously undervalued, have exploration upside. But really the anchoring of the investment thesis is in what they've already outlined, either in an economic study or in a 43-101 resource. The two companies that I go to first right off the hop, are O3 Mining and Monarch Gold. Both of these companies are located in the Val-d'Or region of the Abitibi. They've got, you know, in Monarch's case, they've got their flagship Wasamac project that is a feasibility level study project with, at I believe, at $1,900 gold. It's around $1 billion after tax NPV. And then they've got a slew of other projects and actually two mills in that same Val-d'Or region that, you know, I see as a tremendous value proposition. And then on the flip side, you have O3 Mining, another company that we've talked about, that whose intrinsic value is basically double the share price today. And that's without any of the exploration's upside potential that may be coming this fall as they go to drill their Malartic property.
All right, let's dive a little bit more into these companies, starting with Monarch Gold, because when you brought up the company to me, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I reached out to the company and chatted with Jean-Marc Lacoste, the president and CEO. I will be introducing Monarch on the show, but that'll come in a couple weeks' time. But some of the notes that I had, I was surprised to see how big of a drill program the company had, almost 50,000 meters planned at a couple different properties. So the Beaufort Mine, Mackenzie Break, they also have Wasamac, but that's more in a permitting stage. This drilling really seems like some of the near-term catalysts, but what are you going to be focused on the most for driving this stock price and moving this company forward?
Well, they've got, in particular, they've got some exploration drilling occurring at their Beaufort mine. So it was a past-producing mine. They shut it down for care and maintenance last summer, and that was basically due to the gold price. You know, they need $1,400 gold to make that underground mine work. And now that we've got $2,000 gold, they've set out on a 42,000-meter drill program, and they're using GoldSpot to help with target generation, but they're targeting high-grade gold, so this is plus 4 grams per ton gold at depth. I believe the mine right now goes down to around 800 meters, and for anybody who knows the Abitibi, or specifically the Val-d'Or region, you know, 800 meters is really just a blip, and you never know what you can unlock at depth. So I think that could be a catalyst to grab the market's attention. You know, outlining a high-grade resource above 4.5 grams per ton, they could quickly put this back into production early next year and could be cash flowing. Second to that, you've got the Mackenzie Break project, which is much smaller, not as developed. It's got a small 43-101 resource on it. They just released some step-up drill results. I believe it was maybe around the first time that we started talking about Monarch. They had some high-grade hits, you know, that were step-outs. Really nice outside of the existing resource. And they've got more assays, like, on the upcoming. And I think these could grab the market's attention. You know, they have that ability or the geological potential to put out, you know, high grade, albeit usually narrow veined. But I really like the prospects of Mackenzie Break, especially when you start to break down the value proposition. If you really, honestly, if you look at Monarch Gold right now, they're trading at less than 20% of their NAV. There's not too many advanced projects, and you know the big part of that is Wasamac. These other Mackenzie Break, I can't remember the rest of the projects, but when you start adding those up, it becomes quite clear how undervalued Monarch is. And I get your point on the catalyst. But for me, you know, I do like that the market isn't paying attention to it, because it allows me to acquire more shares. And when this stuff becomes more evident moving forward, and actually I should bring up another point. This whole MOU that was signed with Glencore earlier this year on possibly using their Kidd Creek concentrator around Timmins could be another major catalyst this fall. Yamana, right after that MOU was signed, Yamana came in and did a $4.2 million private placement, and they took a board seat. And to me, you know, I'm speculating here, but to me this telegraphs that 100% Yamana has interest in Wasmac, given its proximity to Malartic. And again, Malartic is sub gram per ton. You know, they still make a ton of money at that grade. But Wasmac, definitely in comparison, is much higher grade. And I think if they see it, its ability to be adapted into the Malartic operation, you may see a bidding war as early as this fall or maybe early next year. And of course, I'm speculating there, but I could totally see it happening.
Yeah, one thing to your point about the market really not paying attention, I was surprised to learn about the bigger drill program that this company has. But do you think that the company's not quite getting the valuation that you think it should because, well, Wasmac, it's in the permitting stage. This really is a focus for some shareholders. But then there's also these exploration plays with Beaufort, with Mackenzie Brake. Do you think that the company would almost benefit from having these projects in different entities, a more exploration focus and a more production focus with Wasmac?
Yeah, you bring up a good point. You know, honestly, I think O3 is the other example of how multiple projects seemingly, you know, cloud the waters enough that people can't see the value, or they get confused, you know, at all the different moving parts. And I guess that's understandable. I think you're right in to some degree, you know, breaking those parts down, would probably not only from a investor's point of view, but from the company's point of view, maybe more accretive. In my discussions with Jean-Marc, I really wouldn't be surprised if you see some of those smaller projects, maybe Mackenzie Brake, that do get spin off. If there's a market to do it, I think this is it.
All right, Brian, I appreciate all of your thoughts. I appreciate you sharing with us some of the stocks that you're focused on and giving us a little insight into some of your reports on these companies. Everybody, stick around. I'm going to be right back wrapping up the show with an update from Silvercrest Metals.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are getting enough from Silvercrest Metals, traded on the TSX under the symbol SIL and on the NYSE under the symbol SILV. I am chatting with Chris Ritchie, the president of Silvercrest Metals. Now, Chris, I wanted to get you on the show because there's been a lot of comments made on our website over the last about week and a half regarding Silvercrest, and especially focused on those drill results released August 13th that was the best drill hole on the overall Las Chispas property and also on this Bobby Vista vein. The headline number, 1.7 meters, grading 635 grams per ton gold, over 26,000 grams per ton silver. This all equates to over 73,000 ton or grams per ton silver equivalent. This is an impressive drill result, but give us a little bit more context on what these batch of drill results showed you about the continued growth of this Bobby Vista vein, please.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I think as people are aware, our drill bid has been fantastic for us in terms of adding value. If you take our current market cap today, subtract the cash we've already spent and the cash we still have left to spend, we've added about $9 of value for every dollar we spent. And it's because of veins like this. This is a vein that is very near surface. We intersected it on the way to Area 51. It's tons that, and ounces that we hope to be processing very, very early in the mine plan, that we're still working on, of course. And, you know, with grades like this, the margins should be comfortably over $20. I mean, you know, Eric Sprott had us on, or was on the podcast talking about being like 98% margins. We'll see. But yeah, contextually, the translation of these sorts of tons into free cash flow, is potentially very, very significant. For this particular vein, we've only drilled off about 800 meters. We don't know specifically how much more there is to drill, but it could be substantially larger. You know, and for us, what we're doing now is we're working on infill drilling that, meaning tightening up the spacing between drill holes so that we can increase the level of confidence we have so that we can put it into that upcoming feasibility study. And one of the risks we definitely want to highlight with drill holes like this is whatnot is we might not be able to get all of these particular tons and ounces into that upcoming feasibility study because we won't have enough drill holes to get them to that degree of confidence. But we might. We just don't know yet. So again, that upcoming feasibility study, you know, could vary pretty widely based on what is or isn't included, which we're still working on. But if you kind of fast forward 6 months, 12 months, the rate of drilling we plan on keeping up with has a chance to hopefully add a lot more ounces. So this is something that should, you know, potentially help the economics significantly, bring forward free cash flow, shorten that payback period, increase the IRR. And again, this is all in line with the historic grades when they used to produce at this property back in the late 1800s. So again, it's just something that is increasing the value of the project pretty quickly.
So you and I have discussed a number of times how these high-grade results can help out the mine plan by bringing some of these ounces earlier on to increase the cash flow early on in a production scenario. But what about the continuity of the drill results at this Bobby Vista vein? There's a number of comments within this news release that talk about the consistent nature of these high-grade results.
Yeah, and that's all about risk. I mean, in the early days of drilling, if your drill holes are widely spaced, it's hard to have confidence to any degree about what's in between. It's certainly not something you want to get overly aggressive communicating about. But we're very happy to see that continuity. And again, when you do drill to that tighter spacing, that confidence goes up. And for most of our veins, that continuity has held up extremely well for the high grade. So that's something, again, that's fantastic. But it is also something for that feasibility study to note that most mining companies will drill as much as they humanly can, drill off as much of the entire property, and then do a study, and then try to raise capital for that. For us, we want to get in cash flow as quickly as possible. So for us, we just need enough continuity, confidence, enough scale to give us that payback period that is quite quick and robust, and then hopefully just continue to add value on top of that study that's coming out. So again, from a risk perspective, we're starting to tick a lot of boxes, and continuity is definitely one of them. And then, you know, we still have a bunch of those boxes yet to tick, but again, like, what we're seeing so far is fantastic.
Okay, there are a couple comments that were made over the last week and a half that were discussing the whole production scenario and how quickly you guys could move into some sort of cash flow. Do you have any general estimate, any ballpark figures on how quickly Silvercrest could be in a cash flow scenario here?
Sure. The first thing I want to say is we're one of very few companies that are contemplating making a construction decision during COVID. And, you know, anything that we're contemplating now is obviously subject to change. So, you know, everybody beware. As it stands today, we do hope to make a construction decision, a formal construction decision in Q1, 2021. As people do know, as we talked about in the past, we're already charging forward pretty significantly. We have our major permits in hand. The financing is largely under control. We still have a little bit yet to go get. We're already mining underground. We're doing underground development. We're stockpiling ore. You know, the time frame under which we could build something should be something in the range of 18 to 24 months. But again, you know, part of the challenges and risks there are, you know, we got to build a quarantine camp on site. You know, we need to figure out how many people we can have in that quarantine camp. And the number of people we have will depend on how quickly we can get work done. So again, there's that 18 to 24 month period of time. But that transition is an important one for all mining companies. And we're certainly in that category. And you can look at what that re-rate might or might not look like. And I'm going to stick to the numbers from the PEA because we still don't know the exact specifics of the feasibility study. And again, the feasibility study is a snapshot in time. But in that PEA, you know, we referenced 13.7 million ounces per year for the first 4 years. You know, we hope to have improved upon that, but you know, let's use that as a number. We'll use 14 million just to round it up a little bit to make the numbers easy. The all-in sustaining costs were supposed to be about $5 per ounce silver equivalent in that PEA. Year one's probably going to be a little higher, just because of, you know, the costs to get growing, and then we can be a little conservative in order to be prudent here. But let's say they're $8 in year one, and let's say it's 10 million ounces year one, just because it's a slow ramp up year. At $27, $28 silver, I think we're in that neighborhood today. You know, you're still talking, you know, roughly $20 a margin. So, I mean, if you're 10 million ounces, roughly $20 a margin, that's about $200 million of free cash flow. You know, so again, our market cap today is about $1.2 billion U.S. We need to raise some more money. So if you want to assume 1.3, that's okay. But that puts you something that's kind of mid-teen free cash flow yield, maybe low teen if you discount it for time. You know, most peers are in the neighborhood of 4 to 8% free cash flow yield. And again, that's not an apples to apples number. Every company is different in terms of the number of mines and their mine life and quality of the asset and whatnot. But the point is, if we were to re-rate somewhat in line with our peer group, we could potentially have a big move. Once we do ramp up, and let's go back to those PEA numbers, if it is roughly 14 million ounces a year at $5 all in, those are north of 20% or $20 margins per ounce. So $20 per ounce margins times 14 million ounces, you know, you're at 280 million pre-tax. We will have some tax shields, but even if you want to tax that fully, you're in the neighborhood of 200 million there. So, you know, again, these are pretty large free cash flow yield numbers, that traditionally, you know, re-rate higher. Now, again, we have a lot of risk to navigate between now and then. But, you know, part of our strategy, Corey, as you well know, is still to grow aggressively. Like, we're not done drilling. We hope to have somewhere between 15 and 20 veins of a known 43 veins in the upcoming feasibility study. And most of those veins, or maybe half of those veins, are only partially drilled off. So again, Bobby Vista, we think there's a significant amount of strike length yet to drill, which hopefully contains a lot of that high grade. So again, I think there's some low-hanging fruit in adding ounces and whatnot.
All right, perfect. Thank you for wrapping up this first hour for us here, Chris. And if anybody has any follow-up questions regarding any aspect of Silvercrest Metals, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'm getting a lot of emails from all of you, our listeners. I love hearing from all of you, so please keep all those emails coming. I'm always here to try to help you guys out, get whatever questions you have answered. Chris, thanks for taking time again on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate your time.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.